Today we're going to do a trance about acceptance. So I don't know how quickly you can find yourself dropping into trance. Can you drop into trance when I say deep sleep? Can you find yourself getting to that point where your brain understands that those two little words, deep sleep, from me, with the intent for you to go deeply and easily into trance, deep sleep, is the same, except it's a shortcut, of course, for you getting comfortable and doing some sorts of other things that allow you to go deeply and easily into trance. It's like building a switch to turn on a light bulb instead of having to get out, a gas lamp and turn up the wick and light it. It just bam, instantaneously happens. So whether or not your unconscious mind is at that state where deep sleep means that you can find yourself dropping easily and effortlessly into trance, or whether your unconscious mind needs a little bit more practice, needs to equate the one to the other, whatever it is that your brain does, let it do it as quickly and easily as it knows how to right now. Go ahead and just drop down more and more deeply. Deep sleep, just like that. When you find yourself in that state of sliding and sinking and surrendering and dropping more and more easily and effortlessly into a powerful state of trance, allow your unconscious mind right now to let your body get as comfortable as you need to get as comfortable as feels good, so that you can just go down even deeper. Depth of trance is irrelevant. I say that all the time because humans are suggestible whether they're wide awake or deeply in trance. It's just a question of who you want to listen to and who you don't want to listen to and why. But in this instance, I'm hoping that you find yourself wanting to accept my suggestions in a way that allows you to feel great. And whether that's physically great or mentally great or some combination of the two, whatever it is that you need to get out of this trance, let yourself get out of it. So for the moment, perhaps you can accept that you are seated comfortably, lying down comfortably, whatever it is, whatever position you're in, that you are as comfortable as you can be, and you can know that you can get even more comfortable as needed as this trance goes on. You can find that you allow yourself to relax as much as you need to, that you can give in a little bit more and a little bit more easily every single time. You have my permission to do that, and give yourself permission to do that too. It is all right to give yourself permission to allow your unconscious mind to feel as good as it possibly can be, to allow your body to feel as good as you possibly can be. I run into a lot of people who are very disparaging of their own abilities on a regular basis. And I run into a lot of people who think they can't do a thing all the time. I don't believe that, and that's my own negative. But what I do believe is that your unconscious mind is amazing. And I believe that anything that you truly would like to find a way to do, your brain can make that happen. I'm not saying that any of these are instant or quick or easy, but if there is a drive within you to make a thing happen, your unconscious mind can do that. It's important, though, to recognize where you are right now. If I was to say to myself, for example, I want to be a brain surgeon, my body and my mind would go through this action of, what am I capable of doing right now? Have I had any training in this? Do I want to subject myself to 7 more years of schooling, or however long it is, and interning before I might possibly get to do anything like that? So, as long as I find that I'm being realistic about a goal, my brain can then go, oh, okay, you're being realistic about it. Let's plan on how we can do these things. Let's accept where we are right now, recognize what it is that we need, and find a way to go forward. So, as you find yourself in whichever position you are, getting as comfortable as you can be in that deep sleep, notice that you first can accept what it is that you're feeling right now. Go ahead and just scan your body from head to toe and notice how you are. There's something really powerful about going, okay, my feet are on the floor. The top of my feet feel fine. My toes are great. I can wiggle them. My ankle feels good. My calves, my shins, they're still attached. Yep, knees attached too. I can feel the back of my leg against the chair. It may or may not be comfortable for the whole time I'm talking, so I might have to move it. My butt might have to also be shifted a little bit. Oh, my eye's a little itchy right now. My waist feels good. My elbow is on the table, but I may not want to have it there the whole time. But just understanding where you are and being accepting of what your body's doing. So my whole body feels pretty good because I'm leaning over the table to make sure I can talk into the microphone. My shoulders kind of feel a little bit of tension in them, but not in a bad way, just in a we're doing some kind of work way. And that's all right. I am accepting what my body is doing right now. And if my body, for instance, was to feel one way in a certain spot that wasn't something I enjoyed, I would say something like, thank you, body, for giving me an itch on the left side of my neck. I don't know what it is that you're trying to tell me, but I appreciate that you are drawing my awareness to my neck. Thank you very much. So to accept that something is going on in your body, to thank your body for giving you the opportunity to pay attention to it, and then just to notice what happens. I do this when I have some weird sorts of pain, usually somehow in my back if I'm driving long distances. And then usually at some point in time, after I acknowledge that, my body just kind of goes, oh, I'm going to stop doing that thing because you paid attention to it. What I've noticed is that if you try to deny a thing or try to will it away, sort of denying that your body is trying to give you any kind of message at all, that sometimes it just gets worse. And then everything kind of goes downhill from there. The more you can accept what is, the more you can appreciate your unconscious mind for giving you a message about something, even if you don't fully understand what that message is, the quicker those things, in my experience, seem to resolve. So I wonder if you can accept that your body is just sitting there as comfortably in every moment that I talk as you can make it, that you have the ability to gain understanding and knowledge about what it is that your body is doing, and then to realize that your mind and your body are intricately linked. Because they are intricately linked, when you accept something that your body is doing, what you're doing is telling your unconscious self that you are paying attention to it. Your unconscious mind likes notification. It likes approval. It likes knowing that it's done a good job about something. So even if you don't really understand why your body is feeling a certain way, when you thank your unconscious mind for giving you a signal that something is going on, you're acknowledging that it's doing a job. And then it's like you've given it permission to stop doing the job. You don't have to understand it. What you can be aware of is patterns. If you feel the same thing over and over again, and maybe it's related to how you sit, or maybe it's related to the exercise you got from earlier, or maybe it's something else entirely different. It doesn't matter what it is. Discover that you can find yourself appreciative of the messages that your unconscious mind sends to you through your body. You can appreciate, accept them, just let them happen, and then you can move on. You can go ahead and do other things because you have your body's and your mind's understanding that what you did was totally fine, unconsciously, consciously, physically. It's all good. So when you find yourself thinking things that perhaps are hurtful in the same way, one of my favorite activities is to have somebody toss a ball back and forth from one hand to the next, passing that through your center, the center line of your body, and following that with your eyes and or your head. Now, I can toss nothing. Some people need something to toss. Whatever it is that you're doing, it doesn't matter. When you do that, you are telling the logical part of your brain or the emotional part of your brain, hey, I want to engage you in what it is that we're doing. It works really well for people who are feeling very anxious, because both sides moving like that, your left side and your right side moving that way, engage your unconscious self, engage the logical part of you as well as the emotional part. Usually most people's emotional parts get overrun, but it's not just emotional people whose emotional side gets overrun. Logical people can get down a spiral of logic just as easily. So you can find yourself in this state of just going, okay, I'm going to re-engage all of me by tossing something back and forth, left to right, right to left, just for about 30 seconds or so. If you find that you do that, discover what happens. Pay attention to what your body does and how it responds, and you got it. Thank your body and your mind for responding so nicely. Go ahead and just let that happen, not right now, but you can imagine that happening if you ever were to need it. Accepting what it is that our unconscious minds do for us and with us and to us, and that our bodies also do to, for, and with us, is a big leap in us being capable of expanding what our capabilities are. Once we know where we are, we accept what it is that we can and cannot do. When we accept what it is that we are wanting to do based on our limitations, we can decide how to go forward. So I'm not going to be a brain surgeon, except perhaps by words. But if I wanted to, say, learn a new recipe, because I'm stuck at home and I'm doing a lot of cooking, I would first have to take a look in my pantry to see if I had the necessary ingredients to do a thing. If I didn't, I'm going to have to wait. If I did, I'd have to go through and read to make sure I had all the proper tools. Do I have a whisk? Can I substitute something else for it? Do I have a rolling pin? Do I have a cold bottle of liquor that I can use as a rolling pin if I don't have a rolling pin, for example? I need to engage my brain to figure out what I have / figure out what else I might have that could substitute for a thing just on the off chance. When you know that there's something that you really want to do and you have all the ingredients and all the tools for it, nothing's holding you back except for your ability to do it. You may not have done any of the things needed for a particularly fancy recipe. You may not know what julienne means, for example, but your brain can learn these things. You could go onto YouTube and you could watch somebody julienne something, and you could get out your cutting board and your knife. You might want to make sure that your knife is sharp. If you don't know how to sharpen your knife, you don't have that capability, you might just have to, do the best job that you could being as careful as you can. I want to put this kind of thing about acceptance of ourselves into hopefully an easy to understand metaphor about cooking, because sometimes we have abilities to do things that we don't have everything that we need, so you can adapt and adjust. Recipes are a wonderfully flexible thing, and so are human beings. You may not have to do a thing exactly the way you should. We're not trying to do nailed it here, but in order for you to accomplish something new and different, just take advantage of your mind's ability to scan your body and your mind and go, do we have the necessary stuff to do a thing? If not, can we do something similar but a little different? Or should we go in an entirely different direction? Hold on to what it is that your unconscious mind thinks about a thing. Can you do it? Are you engaging only your own emotional responses, or are you also taking a look at literally the tools and the ingredients and the skills that you have? Do you need to go practice chopping things a little bit more? You want to make sure you're careful of your fingers. Do you know how to use a whisk? Can you crack an egg, for example? Do you know the very best way to measure a cup of flour versus a cup of brown sugar? Whatever it is that you need to do a thing, you can figure it out, and don't beat yourself up about it if you don't get it right the first time. I tried to make naan about a month ago. I really, really love Indian food. And I've always wanted to be able to make naan at home. Even though I can now buy it and freeze it and it's pretty damn good, I wanted to make it myself. So I get out my cast iron pan and I make the dough, and it's great. I can make bread dough fine. But I go to cook it and I realize I did two things wrong. The first is that I used a pan that is very good at transmitting heat, and I turned it up too high to begin with. So even though the bread is supposed to get dark spots on it, like little slightly burned little bubbles where the dough rises up, and gets little air pockets. I had it too hot, and then all of the bread that I made was sort of half done or too done. It was still pretty good. I kind of figured it out by the end, but the first few pieces were not great. And the second thing that I realized only after is that I had made half a recipe. So I should have been able to make 6 naan, but instead I made 12, which was what the whole recipe should have made because my brain didn't translate everything as well as it should have. That's okay. My naan was good enough to eat. It was acceptable. And I now have some new things that I can pay attention to next time I make it. Maybe I use a different pan. I was kind of hoping that the cast iron would be nonstick. It wasn't. Live and learn. One thing that you can do too is to accept that you are, as most people are in this world, going through learning processes with new stuff all the time. If you expect perfection the first time, you are bound to be disappointed. And it's not that you don't have beginner's luck at something, because you very well could have, and that would be fantastic and amazing. But if you're like me, you might make a couple mistakes along the way. I'm not going to throw out the whole recipe's worth of bread that I made. I'm going to learn from what I did, and I'm going to do stuff differently next time. I'm going to make them a little bit bigger. I'm going to turn down the heat of the pan. I'm going to probably use a temperature gun to make sure at what temperature it is before I start tossing bread in, the bread dough in. And I'm going to let it go at that. I'm not going to fuss. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to make something that's good enough. And the more I do it, the more my brain goes, oh, I learned a little bit more this time. And oh, I learned a little bit more that time. And before long, and it might be, you know, 5 or 6 tries before I get it. And I'm like, yes, this is the kind of bread that I would expect to get if I went to an Indian restaurant, and it makes me really happy. Whatever it is that you find yourself wanting to do, please be kind to yourself. It is really easy to get upset and frustrated and to think, oh, I wasted this thing. But you know, when we go to school, we are using resources to learn to do a thing. When you do something at home, it's the same thing, only you're the teacher, probably, and the student all in one, and you're providing all the infrastructure and all the things you need. So it can seem like it's an expensive mistake, even if it isn't really. Be kind to yourself and accept that you can do what you can do with what you have, or that you can find something different to do, because to get to perfect is unrealistic for most people. To get to a place where you're like, yeah, this is delicious, or oh, this is really, really wonderful, is fantastic. I started watching a show today in between these two sessions. I had never seen it before. It was called Gotham Garage. And these people take cars, hot rods, old beater cars, and they put new engines in them. And they sometimes do a lot more work. They paint the outside. Sometimes they chop a vehicle and expand it. And I'm looking at their work, and the overall effect of these things is all really fascinating. They take something that was rusty, a whole, you know, rusty shell of a vehicle, and they turn it into this beautifully painted, blinged out car or other kind of vehicle. And the people that see them are wowed. When I look at them, I notice different things about those cars that I wouldn't think is perfect, but the end result is that they have created a thing out of something that somebody else probably thought was pretty close to trash, and they have restored it, and they have done something beautiful to it. And I would like you to think about the things that you have discarded in the past that at one point in time you might have thought would have been an amazing thing when it was finished. And perhaps right now your brain can realize that you too have the tools and capacity and wherewithal to do a thing and to feel really great about it. And in fact, I would like you to imagine to the very best of your ability that somewhere inside your brain is a place where a lot of skills that you have neglected or tossed aside or never used lie. And as you imagine that, can you imagine that all of those things, all of the tools you need right now for stuff that you might want to do now or in the near future, recognize that they could be called upon, and that they just sort of come streaming from wherever in your brain that they are hiding, and they end up in your hands. And perhaps you can feel or see that as though it's some color or ball of energy. As those things stream from wherever they are into your hands. Just imagine that. Just imagine that's happening. And then the moment that that happens, go ahead and just bring your hands up and press that into the center of your chest. And let that proliferate throughout your body. Everywhere it needs to be, in exactly the right amounts it needs to be. And just let that go. It'll go into all the places it needs to. And when you sleep tonight, your brain can think about ideas that you've had, things that you wanted to do, things that were frustrating at one point in time, stuff that you tried to learn that you really still kind of would be like, oh, that'd be so cool to know this. And let those thoughts commingle with the tools and the skills and the abilities and the resources that just got called up and just got pressed into your chest. And as you do that, and when you sleep tonight, let those things come together in a way that allows you to find yourself capable of doing stuff that you always wanted to and somehow was frustrating because you weren't able to accept what you had to work with or how to get that. And so you cast something aside. But notice that you probably have those things now because your brain just gathered what you needed, put it in your hands, and you pressed it to your chest, and that's going to find its way to work with you and your desire to do a thing over the next, I don't know, couple days, week, months, years. I don't know what just got put in motion, but something did. So hold on to that and hold on to how good it feels. Hold on to how accepting you can find yourself of your skills and your talents and your abilities to do a thing. And just know that you can give yourself permission to start a thing, to fuck up a thing, to learn to do it better, to keep going until you get much better at it, until you've created something really astonishing. Be a little kind to yourself. Be a little forgiving of yourself, maybe others too, and hold on to how nice that feels. On the count of 10, find yourself coming up all the way, feeling fantastic, eyes open on 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10.